Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University, and I have with me today my good friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the Story Lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com. I'm calling in this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, where finally we've got a little sunshine. I welcome all of you to the call, and Rhonda, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm from gray and cloudy Missouri, and my cat Trippy is sitting on my lap here ready for the show, and so great to talk to you and to be here with our guests as always.
Well, we've got another great episode lined up for everyone today, and I'm going to butcher the name if I even try it, so why don't you help me out with the names of our guests?
I will take care of that for you, and before I give their introduction, I'll just give you a little bit of why they're here. I think that's always important to know why it is that we're bringing these particular guests. And I met Shahar and Nashla at an event, I think it was about 3 years ago, and they're a mother and daughter team, which is very cool. And what they do is they really do teach you about building buzz for your business. They teach things about social media, getting attention. They have a series of videos called Who Pops Your Popcorn, excuse me. And they're known as the Buzz Boosters. And so we're always looking for ways as entrepreneurs to get the word out about our business, to incorporate social media, to get known. And that is why we have the Buzz Boosters here with us today. So what I will do is just kind of tell you a little bit more about them specifically. So Shahar and Nashla Boyayan are the founders of Buzz Booster. And as I said, they're a mother and daughter operated small business. And they are all about marketing and social media. And they specialize in modern marketing strategies for small business owners. And they have been honing their specialized knowledge in internet marketing since 1998. So they've been around for a little while and through all the changes that have gone on in the industry. So they have designed and they've launched and a number of successful internet projects. And today their focus is to teach speakers, coaches, and small to medium-sized business owners how to create a strong strategy online. Shahar and Nashla are passionate about learning and about mastering their craft. Both of them hold advanced degrees in business and e-commerce and consumer psychology. And they are on the cutting edge of the rapidly advancing internet industry. I welcome both of you. It's wonderful to have you on our show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Excellent.
So, Rhonda, tell me again, how did you meet these nice people?
I met them at a live event, and I think it was almost 3 years ago. It was one of the early events that I had attended, and one of the things that stood out is they both just have a delightful smile, a delightful personality. And they really care about people, and they always seem to have people around them, and we're very warm and open, and that stuck out for me before I really knew very much about them at all. And then as I got to know them, they definitely know their stuff and can teach people to create buzz. So I've been really excited to have them here for our show today.
Well, I've been out checking out the BuzzBooster.com website and so many of the different things that they have to offer. And from what I can see, you guys are all about relationship marketing. Am I right there?
Yes. I think today, if you want to be in business, you need to take into consideration that relationship comes before anything else. If you don't have a good relationship with your prospects and your customers, you will not be able to be successful.
I agree with that. Completely agree. So when someone comes to you and they're really just getting started using the Internet, what kind of advice do you give them? What do you tell them they need to do? How do you grow relationships online?
Yeah, we do what Rhonda knows how to do so well. We try to dig the story out of their business. Because as business owners today, we need to become master storytellers. So the first steps are really to go with them and see what they are about, what's unique about them, why should people care? I don't know if you are aware, but when people go to a website, they are always asking in the back of their mind questions like, what is this about? Why should I care? What's in it for me? And what do I have to do? And you have seconds to be able to answer those questions. So you have first to be really sure what you are about and what's really unique about you, so you can translate that into a way that people will get from the get-go and be able to start a conversation there.
I gotcha. And so that's really what they do through their blog and their website. Is that correct?
Through everything they do. Today, for you to have a successful business online, you might even not have a website. You can have, for example, landing pages and have a radio show or have a video show. So we have many tools out there that facilitate a small business owner today to be successful. So the crucial point is, first, what am I about? And then, how am I going to get the word out there? How am I going to tell my story? You need to become good in one or two tools. And I always say it's either text, video, or audio. You choose the one that you can be really comfortable with, and then you have to become really good with that tool. And all the others are just ways for you to broadcast your message, which people, they tend to go online, and they tend to focus a lot on the tools and think they have to use every single thing. So I have to be on Twitter, and I have to be on Facebook, and I have to be someplace else. And they don't stop and think about the strategy they need to have before that and becoming really good in one thing so people perceive you as an expert in what you're talking about.
Oh, you and I think so much alike here.
That's right. That's why they're here.
So let's take what you just said apart a little bit. You mentioned that they need to have a strategy. What do you mean by that?
Well, I need to know how am I going to tell my story and what am I going to use to tell the story. So, like I said, it's not about being everywhere and not talking about anything that people really pay attention to. So the strategy begins, okay, what's my message here? Why should people care about? And really, what's in it for them? Because any business relationship should be a win-win situation. So both sides need to get value out of that. Once I know that, I'm really clear, I need to think, okay, how am I going to be perceived in this market? That's when the positioning comes into place. Because, you know, today we don't need one more of anything. We don't need another speaker or another coach or another dentist or anything. So I need to position myself in such a way that I'm not perceived as a commodity. Because every time people perceive me as a commodity, I'm only one more in the crowd, and all I can do is fight about price. There's nothing that people really would pay attention. So I need to see, okay, how can I be positioned in such a way that I'm not perceived as a commodity, that I can provide value and receive value. After I have all those questions answered, then I'm going to choose what tool I'm going to broadcast my message with. It can be a blog, a video, a radio. So all these things are part of a strategy. And then how am I going at the same time to be everywhere? Because a business owner, there is a term, Paul Colligan uses that term quite often, called Uber publishing, the need of every single entrepreneur to be everywhere. so people can consume their message whenever they want and however they want. So what do? I go and I create accounts and I automate as much as possible. So I'm broadcasting my message with in different places. But I'm not wasting time with those tools. I'm always using them in such a way that is going to provide value and bring value back to me.
That's a really great way of saying it. So Rhonda, what do you want to know from these ladies today? Rhonda? I wonder if we lost Miss Rhonda.
Maybe she did.
I don't see her in there. I wonder where she went. I'll have to keep watching the control panel so I can get her back if she comes back. Poor thing. I hate it when I call on her and she's not there. Anyway, so is there a specific place that people need to have their business appear, or how do you decide which of the many tools out there is the right one for your business?
You know, you really have to think where your audience is, right? Because we all need to talk to our audience. And in some cases, it's very easy. That they might be on Facebook. But, for example, you might want to talk only to grandparents because that's the way your business is built around. And you might want to go to other social networks like ION, that is a social network for boomers and olders. So you have to think, okay, where is my audience? And there are tools online that you can kind of see, and there are lists of places where your audience congregate. There is a social network for basically any kind of profession today. There are social networks for doctors. There are social networks for dentists. So it all depends where your audience is. We have to go around with our soapbox today and go where they are. And it goes back to some years ago where people used to go around from town to town broadcasting their messages and selling their products. Today we go from social network to social network and we go to Twitter. I think, Gina, the important part is that people do waste a lot of time just trying to make connections on those social networking places. And without knowing exactly what they are doing, it's very frustrating. I don't know if you're aware, but 96% of businesses using social networks today are not getting any return out of that, which is sad because they are very powerful tools, right? So it would be better first to sit down and think, okay, if I'm going to use this tool, let's choose Facebook just because it's so popular, what would I really do there? How much time would I devote to that? And how am I going to take them out of there? Because you have no control over any social media tool, right? They can change rules overnight. They can block your account. All things may happen there. So the idea is that you go there and then you take them out to a place where you can really do business. That can be a website, can be a blog, can be a landing page. So what you cannot do is try to run your business just on those social network environments. Okay? You need to take them out because you have no control over those places. So you need to take them out to a landing page where you can capture their information and keep on doing communication with an autoresponder, for example, or sending them to a sales page. However is the process of your business. If you go right to the sale, if you have to do some consulting, whatever is the situation there, you need to take them out on a periodical basis. So ideally, you would be providing 98% of the time with good content in these places, and 2% of the time, you would give a call for action. So they could go take action someplace else than inside that environment.
That makes a lot of sense. So are there different reasons for using different sites, or are there different audiences on different sites? How does that work?
Yes, there are different audiences in many different places. So, for example, if you're trying to target authors, you have social networks that congregate those authors. One example is Gather.com or AuthorsOnTheNet.com. So you have several places where you can go and talk to a very specific audience. Now, most of the times you are also going to use Facebook just because for 100 million people, where you can market for free, you need to see, unless your audience is in an age range that is not using Facebook or or some other variable that they wouldn't be there, Facebook is usually a good place to start marketing, or at least getting you out there. A lot of entrepreneurs are starting their own business right now, and nobody knows about them. So it's naive to think that you put a website out there together with 50 billion other websites, and tomorrow you're going to be making sales. That is not going to happen. People will not buy from you if they don't trust you. So if you have something that you're doing online today and people are not buying from you, you have to, usually it's because of two things. Either the message is not clear, so you don't get the message across, or people don't believe you. And the second is usually the real one. People still don't believe you, so you have to increase that credibility factor. And the social networks and social tools as a whole, videos for example, they can do that for you. They can increase the level of credibility so people start trusting you and then they will buy from you, and not the other way around. Okay, especially in an age like today that businesses is done through relationships, to connections. If you just put a website out there and expect sales, that is just not going to happen. So that's when, as a small business owner, you can use videos or you can use social networks to start talking about what you're about, why people should care about you, and what they have to do, and then increase that level of trust that will generate sales.
That's fantastic. And let's look at you talked about a couple of different things right there, so let's kind of break those down too. So if you really aren't out there trying to sell something to somebody, how does sales happen?
Well, it also depends on budgets that you have, because you can have two different scenarios here. Let's say I do have a budget. I can put something out there, like I put a website with my products, and the next day I can use pay-per-click and generate some sales because I can force traffic to my website.
Right.
A lot of people today do not have the budget for that. So the second way would be using social tools, because social tools, they are a process. They don't work overnight like normal advertising or pay-per-click would. They are a process, but they last longer. So you would start broadcasting your message in those environments, talking about how you can change their lives or your products can change their lives, increase the credibility level so people start believing you, and then take them back again to the website where they can turn that into the sales.
And Shahar, if I may jump in really quickly, it's a secondary process, because you use these tools as media channels basically to broadcast your message, as Shahar said, and then by the tips that you give them, by the information that you give them, then they click through and go back to your site, where then you have full control of the content there and you introduce them to whatever it is that you want to sell. So it's a secondary process. It's not as upfront as, for instance, doing the pay-per-click and sending them to a landing page where can they buy something. But chances are that those people who meet you through these environments, through the social networks, are more inclined to stick with you longer, because they have been introduced to your content over time, and they, if they chose to follow through to your site, they probably really like you.
That's great, Kate. So you put it that way. Did I just hear Rhonda?
Yes.
Oh, you did make it back in. Yay.
And I didn't mean to leave. My apologies. We had a little brief power outage over here, and everything, I, of course, was connecting through the Internet, so I do apologize. I had not intended to leave you so abruptly. I'm delighted to be back.
We are delighted to have you back, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were just talking, I'm sure you heard, about how sales happen if you're not out there selling directly on these social sites and within these tools. And I also asked you earlier, what is it that you really want to learn today from what these women can share with us?
Well, I had a question relevant to the last little bit that I heard, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me if you had said something like this, but obviously since I wasn't there, I wouldn't have known. But now you were talking about pay-per-click, and I'm wondering what you ladies think, since you're very much expert in the and all of the new technologies. How do you think that the pay-per-click type of things are going to change over time? Do you think they're even going to become very effective because we're in such a relationship marketing era right now?
Well, it has its use. And, if you know, there is a beauty about the pay-per-click that you have to become, you have to get the message across in few characters, right? Because when you're doing, for example, on Google pay-per-click, you have 25 characters on the first line and 35 on the second and third. So very short space, and we are going to become good again in advertising messages. I personally use pay-per-click every time I launch a new website or a new product because I want to test it. So I need to see from the get-go if that product or if the page itself converts well or not. So I do not want to wait for the whole process, the normal process of establishing that whole business. I want to test it to see if there's traction in the market. The beauty for small business owners today is that if you're doing something and it's not working, you can phase it out really fast at a very low cost and start over again. Because not every single thing that we do will be successful. And before, this would mean a lot of money out there that you have to test the product and put out in the market. Today, we can do that very fast and with just some money. So you use the pay-per-click to test that product, see if there is traction, and if it's a go, then you go the full process. And in some cases that you're dealing with commodities, you might also want to use the pay-per-click to bring sales right away, period. Now, when you want to build the business in itself, and it's all about people and how they talk about you, your brand, your business, you need to use the social media tools. But I think pay-per-click is going to become even more powerful than it is today.
In what way do you see pay-per-click becoming even more powerful?
Well, because if you think, if we compare advertising yesterday and advertising today, if we were spending money with TV ads, with magazine ads, or even with newspaper ads, we didn't have any control over those things. We would believe whatever was sold us. So this magazine goes to 70,000 people, things like that. You have some ways of tracking, but they were not perfect. With pay-per-click, you have full control. You have full control of who it goes to. You have tracking tools to track the conversions that you get. And you have even the time of day you want that to choose. For example, I had a client in the CD duplication business that over a period of time, we found that who he was trying to target, CEOs of companies, they were using the pay-per-click tools or clicking on those ads late at night. So we were able to turn off the ads during the day and run it only at night, and the conversions were a lot better. So you have that kind of control that you didn't have before. Now, for you to use pay-per-click, you need to learn first. You either get a coach to help you or get a book. You need to learn because it is very easy to spend money there. And you need, again, to have a strategy, have the numbers really well because it's very easy to lose money. And now you have pay-per-click in social tools like Facebook, for example, that they have a lot of click-through rates, not a lot of conversions. So you have to have the math really well before you start using and have a budget.
With all that said, though, there's something that came to my mind that was, so pay-per-click can be, it's huge, and it can be even huger, right? And there's great potential and great reason why you should use it, such as, for instance, when you're doing research and you want to know if a product will work and if the market wants it and all that. But what comes to mind is, of course, as a business, you don't want to keep paying for every time you launch a product, right? And so the relationship marketing and the social networks and all those are coming into play even bigger and greater now because of your social graph.
Yeah, and do you mind if I talk a little bit about the social graph?
No, go ahead.
Okay, because I think this is a very important part, and a lot of social media experts forget that. The real reason today you want to use social media is the importance that the search engines are playing today. Google changed its algorithm, and so Bing and Yahoo too. They today, when they are seeing if they should show your website well or not, they look, of course, on the if you're relevant or not, because as business owners today, we need to be hyper relevant and hyper local if possible. They look if you're talking about one topic and one topic only. They look at the amount of people linking to you because they think, okay, if this website knows what it's talking only about one topic, first thing. And if it knows only talks about one topic and it's a real expert, other people will be linking to them. So that's when the links to your site count so much. And then they say, okay, and if people are linking to them, people are also talking about them in the social media environment. So they check if there are people are talking about you and your company in the social media environment. And if you are really an expert, you're talking back to them. So today, if you go and you type your own name on Google, you will see that probably if you're active in the social media environment, the social media tools like LinkedIn and Facebook and Plaxo and all the others will show even before your own website. Well, Google now makes all this algorithm and tells if you're an expert in what you're trying to talk or not, and put your website up or down according to that. So social media today is not only about creating relationships and connections, but it's also about being found. And we as business owners, we are always in the gold rush to get attention and to being found. If people don't find you, there's very little that can happen there. So you're going to be using all the social media tools not only to create connections, create the branding, and create relationships, but because you as a business need to be found.
Great, great, great discussion there. Thank you so much for that. So if someone's just getting started and they really have never tried any of these tools before, they've heard about Twitter, they've heard about Facebook, and they listen to what you said today. First thing you said was they've got to craft their story so that they can use their story in these tools as they start putting their presence out there. But what do they do next? They just get in and start watching, or where do they go from there?
Well, they need to really find what's unique about them and how would people care about that. For example, when we talk about motorcycles and we talk about Harley Davidson, it has a huge following online and offline, right? If you think what's unique about them, you would see that the Harley Davidson, they position themselves as the only motorcycle manufacturer company that manufactures big, loud motorcycles for machos or macho wannabes in an era of limited freedom. So if you think when they started and to whom they started, it's very clear in what they are saying. Okay? You need to do the same with you. Who you're talking to. And when I say why should they care is, you know, what exactly are you about? For example, at BuzzBoosters, we say that we are about empowering entrepreneurs and business owners. So all we do is to empower people with knowledge so they can go and do themselves. We are very good at that, and they get it. So small businesses, when they come to us, they are looking for that. Okay, I understand there's all these tools out there, but I have no clue how to use. Let's go back to basics, right? Because those are the first steps. And then you choose one tool that you feel really comfortable with, either text, audio, or video, and become really good at that, because that's going to be the way you're going to broadcast the message. Okay, instead of trying to be fantastic and having 5,000 friends on Facebook, a million followers on Twitter, and just talking about stuff, and think about exactly what kind of thing am I about, what am I going to say, and where am I going to say. All the others will just support you. So, for example, if you go and check us on Facebook, we are not huge on Facebook, and we don't want to be huge on Facebook because we like the videos better. We use Facebook to broadcast that message. So when we have a new video, we go there and say, hey, we have a new video. Of course, we do create relationships there. We do create friends. But it's not our tool to focus. Our tool to focus is videos. Okay?
And you know, that's, I think it deserves another mention. Because a lot of times people, they disperse their energy so much because they want to be everywhere. And while you should have somewhat of a presence in all those places, you do need to focus only on one, at least become really, 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 really good at one of them. So like for us, we chose, let's do the video, and we dedicate ourselves to the videos, and we do the videos on a weekly basis. And then we broadcast them on our blog, of course, and then we put them on all, we just notify it through all those media channels that we have all over the place, but our focus is really on the video. And so for you, find the tool that works well for you. If it's not a video, if you don't like to be on camera, maybe do a radio show, a podcast, or perhaps just really focus really, really well on your blog. But focus on one thing and become really good at that. And then use the other tools to complement and disseminate your message.
And there is a huge difference between becoming really good and becoming perfect. If you watch our show, you will see that we have a lot of technical issues. We are not good at that yet. We are improving every day. Like a friend of mine says, you don't have to get it perfect. You have to get it going. The important part is to be out there having a voice and perfecting that voice as you go. So because you need to test. You need to test the format of the show. You need to test the kind of message you want to get across, if it's really getting across, if people are communicating back to you, if they ask you for certain topics. All these things are way more important than the technology. Okay, technology today is a lot easier than 5 years ago, and it's become easier by the minute. And a lot of people just freeze because of the fear of not being able to deal with technology. That's not the big part. That they will forgive you if the sound is not perfect, if the line falls in the middle, if the light is not perfect. They will forgive you as long as the content that you're providing is bringing value to them.
Gotcha. And
let me take a pause for a moment, if I might. And I just want to, first of all, remind folks who we're listening to and then tell you how people can ask a question. Is that all right with you, Gina, if I just do, pause
absolutely
for a moment to do that?
That would be great.
So we're to the Buzz Boosters, Shahar and Nashla, her daughter, and from buzzbooster.com. And now I want to just tell you how you can join us and make
If you'd like to ask our guest a question, simply enter it into the chat. We appreciate your participation on Relationship Marketing 101.
All right, so let's just jump right back into it, and we do welcome your questions. You'll see that chat box right there on the page for this show. So what you've been saying is really just a particular medium that you like the best and you feel comfortable with, and to work from that, and still to have some presence. So like you have a presence on Facebook and other places, and you're focusing on the videos because that's where you feel the strongest. And what you're saying is also that people, you don't have to have it perfect, but just to get things going. And that's definitely something that Gina and I teach all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And can I say one more thing about the video?
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a big reason also to use video. Actually, there are two big reasons today. First, people feel very comfortable in clicking play. They have no problems. In other media formats that you have as podcasts, people need to, there is a learning curve. They need to learn how to download the podcast. They need to learn how to put on the iPod. So there is a learning curve there that might frighten some people and they stay away from that. But with videos, very easy, right? You click play and you watch. There is no barrier there. So that's one big reason. The second big reason is that the search engines index videos very, very fast. So if you're smart, you do your homework, and you want to rank for specific keywords, you can do that in a matter of hours. And your shows with the right title will do the same. So just in case you're in front of a computer right now and you go to Google and you type six-pack abs, right? For if you are a coach, a fitness coach, or if you're a gym, you that keyword would be interesting to you. And you can see there are millions of pages with that keyword. Well, you will see that right at the beginning, if I'm not wrong, I'm not doing that right now, but on the first page, you will find at least two videos right there. And we know by statistics that 40% of people will click on the videos first before they type any other click on any other result. So again, you're going to be found. Remember the gold rush? We are going to be found on the first page of Google, even if our website doesn't show there. People will, 40% will get those clicks. And then if we add that, a call for action or something, we are going to take them to a place where we can convert and make money. So that's another big reason to use videos.
Mm-hmm. Now, for someone like me who's just not very technically adept, and the concept of creating videos scares me half to death, how can I go about using videos in the way that you've been talking about it?
Well, you know, if you have, you can use your cell phone to tape a video. Like I said, people are very forgiving about quality. You can use a flip camera, a Webby, there are Kodak. There are many cameras out there that all you do is one button to record and another button to hook to your computer. Upload that to YouTube, right? Because that's always the easiest way. After you upload that to YouTube, you have to add a title. Put a keyword on the title, a keyword that would bring you buyer, not just any keyword. For example, you wouldn't want to use relationship only, right? Because that keyword would be way too competitive and wouldn't bring you a buyer. So we need, our mindset needs to be like, okay, what would a buyer really type? For example, if I type watches, I'm just looking for watches, and I may be looking how to buy a kit to make my own watch. I'm not a buyer. If I type Rolex watch, I'm researching. So I really am a prospect right now. It might be worth targeting that keyword. But if I type Rolex watch 2009, for example, I'm looking specifically for a kind of watch. Then I'm a buyer. So you need to think what keyword your audience would be typing that would bring you a buyer. For example, relationship field, for example, relationship experts. They might use relationship expert, relationship consulting. Well, yes, but we know for a fact that people, when they get desperate at night and they get home and the wife says, honey, I need a divorce, they cannot sleep at night, they might go to the computer late at night and type, stop my divorce. That person is looking for a solution to a problem. That person is a buyer. So what you need to think is, okay, what kind of keyword would I be providing a solution to a problem? And then using that keyword on the title, as simple as that, would start. You would rank for that keyword, and then if you tie that with a call for action of some kind, you would take them to a landing page or a website where you could convert that into money. So it is a simple process. The technology would not get in the way because you can do that with your phone. Does that answer your question?
It does, and that does make it a lot easier for folks to get started with video, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think people should not stop because they think, I don't know how to do video, or I don't know how to do audio. Like I said, technology today is very easy. There are free softwares out there to help you in the process. And you know, because we are going so mobile, this little computers that we carry and we call phones, they can do everything today for us. So really, with a couple of touches of your finger, you can have your video on YouTube, for example, and use YouTube to do the rest for you. Or you can get more complicated too, but you can do it. It doesn't matter. Age is not a problem. How comfortable you are with technology is not a problem anymore. It used to be, but it's not anymore. Not
what's
even budget, Gina, right?
What
kind of difference you mean?
What's the difference between what it used to be and what it is now?
Well, it's huge. For example, when we started, even watching a video online was a huge thing. We would have to download and wait maybe hours to be able to see something. So everything was complicated. Softwares were very expensive. software to for example, like Photoshop could cost you or a video editing software could cost you $3,000-$4,000. And today you have free softwares out there. The interface, how you have to use them, is a lot easier than 5 years ago. Social media has allowed us to market with almost no investment. There is investment of time, but not investment of money so much. So all these things were not possible before. Think about it. If you were starting your own business 10 years ago, it was really a different scenario. You would have to have a budget, go look for a loan to be able to just start out. And you would probably have to use a lot of offline media that would cost quite a bit of money. Today, you still want to use offline media, but then when you already have a relationship with your customer and you want to sell them more and more and more, since they're more likely to buy from you again, but you can balance everything. So it's easier and it's cheaper.
That's fantastic. That's really leverage, right?
Yeah. It allows any small fish to swim with sharks all day long if they want. What people don't understand is that they need to be consistent. And that's why we still have such a high rate of failure of people starting to do stuff online and not succeeding. It's not because of technology or budget. It's because they are not consistent. They want to put a website and make sales tomorrow. They want to put a video and have millions of people watching the next day. They want to say something on Facebook and convert that into business the next day. It's not going to happen. It's not like that. It's better for you to do one thing a day and do it well every single day than just spend a lot of money, put a super produced video out there and expect results. It's not going to happen that way.
Okay.
And that, is that partly why you say to pick something you really enjoy and are good at and to roll with that? Because you'd probably be more consistent. If you really enjoy video, you're likely to do it a lot and continue to get good at it. And if you are terrified of it, you're probably going to maybe do one or two and then drop it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You need to be comfortable in every single aspect. You need to like what you're doing. You need to like the tool that you're using to be able to be consistent. And keep doing even when it doesn't work. Because at the beginning, if you're using videos, for example, you might get two or three people watching those videos. That happens all day long. So you need to keep doing. They don't know you. They don't have a reason to come to you. So you need to keep doing that until you're found and you get attention from people. And that is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So you need to be consistent. Keep doing that for as long as it takes, actually. And the other thing is, because all this flexibility that the Internet offers today, and because of the low point of entrance, we don't need to have money, we don't need to know a lot about technology, also causes a problem, right? You have more noise. You have more people coming every day. And when we see everything out there, the amount of people without work and the amount of people that need to start their own thing to be able to make ends meet at the end of the month, we are going to have more and more people using all the social media tools, using all this environment. So we need to be careful and craft a strategy where we can be perceived, because it's very easy to be one more in the crowd today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So go ahead.
Well, then, and you're right, it is very easy to get lost in the crowd, and there are even a lot of ways to do video that you don't even necessarily have to show your face to make it happen. But let's say there is a lot of noise, and you're wanting to get yourself noticed, and even if you're going to be not too worried if everything doesn't have to be perfect and all that, but what are you going to do to help to make yourself then to stand out above other people in your market? Because that's one of the concerns people have. Well, how do I get noticed? There's so many people out there.
Well, always pay attention to the story. Your story needs to resonate with your audience. Mm-hmm. For you to get traction, you need to start saying things that they pay attention and they start interacting with you. And you have to test. There is a lot of testing at the beginning. Because what you might think it's going to be a huge hit might not. Or the way you think you should be broadcasting your message might not be the right way. So you need to do some testing first. And then what do? You create some connections in the social media environment so to attract some people to your media of choice. And if the message is good, the story is good, they're going to tell them their friends. You can entice them, but you cannot control word of mouth, right? So what you have to be testing is new ways to tell the story, new ways to broadcast that message. Really think what's in it for them. It's amazing, Rhonda, how many people are in business and they never think about the other side.
Right.
Is my audience getting any value? Are they getting results? You know, if a person comes to me, they want results, and they want results fast. I need not only to be aware of that, but I need to have tools to provide that to them or show them how to get those results fast. And then go on with all the business. It's the same thing in anything you're doing. So you need to think, what am I really providing to them? What they really want? There is a lot of psychology in all this because we need to think like the other person, the buyer. And we tend to think only about us and our products and how fantastic we are, but really, what are they looking for? And then become good copywriters in the sense of having the right titles for the shows, having the right titles for the blogs, crafting the story right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few significant things that I'd like to highlight for our listeners, and because it's something that'll be really important. One of the things that you just mentioned is about, having the right kinds of titles and things that will capture attention that go along with the right story. And I've so often seen people that, and I understand being concerned that you want to put a keyword in the title, but would you think that somebody should also try to make that title somewhat interesting, even though you're also using a keyword that relates to the problems that they have?
Yeah, first interesting, then the keyword. Because, you know, even though we are serving two masters, we are serving our audience, and we are serving the search engines, we have to please both. The audience is way more important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they need to stick with us and talk about us to other people. That's where the referrals and the traction is going to come. So, yes, you need to craft well the titles, and if possible, insert the keyword. But, first of all, the audience always.
Besides, more and more, Google is paying attention as to how often people are talking about you and how well connected you are. So if your focus is on your audience, you will benefit from it in the search engines as well.
Excellent. And there was something else, Shahar, you had mentioned just before you were talking about the titles and so forth, and that's about what value we're providing. Now, something that I know people ask me about quite a bit, and I run into quite a lot with entrepreneurs, is they go, well, I'm providing really good material that's about things that people are asking me about, and yet I'm not getting enough traction. So would you please speak to that, how somebody who is providing really good information, but they're just not getting getting found or getting noticed, what might be the issue there, and what can they do about it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we are overloaded with information. We all heard that before. We are overwhelmed with the amount of information. We only want to the amount of information we can use. I don't know the case, but possibly they are either overwhelming people with the amount of information or they are not packaging it right. 2 years ago, for example, home study courses were very popular, right? They would sell for whatever money you would ask. And we would try to cover everything with those home study courses. Today, they are not selling them. And why is that? Because people don't want a lot of information about one topic. They want narrow. They want specific information they can apply. So sometimes a group of two CDs, for example, that talk only about one topic and go deep into that topic would do a lot better. The other thing could be that even though they are providing the right amount of information with the right packaging, it's not sexy enough. And that's when we have to come back to how we describe and title everything that we do. Is that sexy? For example, if I type 10 ways to lose weight, okay, it tells everything it is. It tells us about weight, and probably the product is very good. But when somebody comes and puts a book out there called Skinny Bitch, which one do you think is more sexy, the first or the second? Right? Skinny Bitch was a huge success, and now you have yeah, Skinny Bitch in the Kitchen and everything else. So, you know, the crafting the right title can play a big role in why you're not selling. Because sometimes you're not making it sexy enough. But most of the time, it's because it's too general. You're talking about way too many things in one topic.
Or perhaps trying to reach way too many people. So even if your content is good and your titles are good, and if it's not resonating, it could be that you're talking to the wrong audience. Perhaps you haven't defined who it is that you really want to reach.
Which is very common with entrepreneurs. They are so afraid they are not going to make money that they want to talk to all women. Or they want to talk to women aged 20 to 56. It's not the same conversation. The way I talk to a 26-year-old is really different than the way I talk to a 45-year-old. So if I cannot talk in real life with them at the same time, reaching them and in the same depth, how can I do that with anything I'm doing, with a website, a video, or an audio, or whatever? I can't. It's a different conversation. Different conversations need to take place in different places or at different moments. Because the way I reach a 26-year-old, you know, even the way I talk to a 26-year-old is different than a 45. The challenges they are facing in life are different. And a lot of people get really scared and they don't do anything or they try to be too general.
In a conversation that kind of illustrates that, a couple of days ago, I asked somebody about who her audience was, and she said, you know, mothers. And I said, and what age are the children of this mother? Who's your ideal customer? And she hadn't really thought about it. And so I asked her, well, who do you typically then work with in your business? And it was mothers with children who were 8 and under. And I said that the needs of a mom with a high school student and the needs of a mom with an 8-year-old and the needs of a mom with a baby are all very, very different markets, right?
Exactly. And even the usage, how they use the Internet, for example, are different. Mommy bloggers are still huge today because their generation, the ones that are 20-some, they're using that. It's the new way of raising a kid, right? It's talking about them on the blogs and everything. Well, if I'm a 4-year-old, not so much. It's a different approach. Right? So how can I talk the same way to them or at the same environment? I can't. It becomes confusing. But business owners all the time, they go, no, we cannot go that narrow. But the gold is really when you go narrow. Because then the message, the story is refined, is really reaching the person. Remember, people buy with the heart. So how can you talk to emotions if you don't know exactly who you're talking to? The age, the sex, everything. You can't.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's no way to do it. They're so different. The way you would talk to them for babies is so different if she has high school students or if she has middle school students or those kinds of things. Yeah, it really is significant. So
even the way they're using money.
How do you teach people to refine their ideas and their understanding of their market if they're kind of in that beginning place and they're still working it out?
Well, when they work with us, the first two sessions are all about brainstorming. And we have some exercises that I play the devil's advocate. So I'm going to be your worst enemy during those two sessions because we want to get the message right. And all the mistakes and all the bad things need to be said in that environment before you go out and you make mistakes. Because especially today with social media, something that you say wrong can have a huge reach and never be erased. So you have to be careful in crafting all those things before you go out.
Sure.
And unfortunately, people think, no, I can go and use Facebook myself. I can use Twitter myself. But if they don't know what they are doing, nothing is going to happen. So we have exercise and a lot of brainstorming because we need to dig that out of the person. I don't come with the solutions. We need to dig it out. It's there. So we just need to figure that together and then package that. So what is really the message here? How we are going to put that out? And in some cases, we might use only Twitter and nothing else. We are actually doing that with a TV show. So it depends. It depends a lot. Each business is unique in that aspect, and the way the person will feel comfortable broadcasting is also different from one to the other.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
No, I was just saying thank you.
Gotcha.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, when you're doing this, is there any value to finding the right people to connect with? And what I'm saying when I'm asking that is, how do you know who to get to be your followers and your friends and whatnot? Does that change the outcome at all?
You mean where they are? It might change the outcome, yes.
Well, even who they are. So
yes,
who do
who
you get to follow you or to become your friends, and how do you find them?
You need to know where they are. And today with Google, for example, you basically can find this audience if they are congregating in a social network. Like I said, there is a social network for every single profession out there, and there are ways to find them. And usually Google is the main tool. What we do at the beginning is really see the size of the market before searching for what you think would bring buyers. So we do all that. We check books in those topics if, you know, they are selling well or not. All these things. And then we say, okay, now we know who we are talking to. Let's go find where they are. You know, today, unless you're reaching people over 75, they are online for a certain period of time. They might not be comfortable with certain tools. Like if you're targeting people 55 and over and you assume they are all using Twitter, that might not be true. Just a percentage might be doing that. So you have to see, okay, age and sex. And, you know, for example, if you're targeting men don't tend to use social networking sites a lot because they don't like this connection part where I go and snoop about what you're doing today and the gossip part and everything that is so fun in Facebook, for example. They're more likely to go to LinkedIn where they get the connection, they get things done, and they get out. So I need to know all that kind of behavior of my audience to be able to see where they are and then go look for them. Now, you know, we know there are men on Facebook, but are they our audience? Depends on what you're doing, yes, they are, and depending on what you're doing, no, they aren't.
Okay,
does that answer your question?
It does. So how does that work? You said it depends on what you're doing is to whether they are or aren't the people you want to be working with. How do you know that? What determines that?
Well, it determines way at the beginning when you know how you want to be perceived in the market and to whom you're talking to, right? So you define. You define the age, the sex, everything, and then you say, okay, maybe I have my audience are made of men age 50 to 60, and they are all employees. Well, if they're all employees, they're men, most likely they use LinkedIn because that's the environment for that profile. Now, I'm talking to men that are 50 to 60, but they have an artistic side. They want to write a book. Well, maybe Gather.com is going to be the best. You can go on Google and you type social networks for authors, for example, and some will pop up. So if you know who you're talking to, it gets a lot easier. You can go and do some simple search on Google or come to somebody like me. Then my job is to know where these people are too. But Google will do most of your work.
It's such a fantastic tool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really amazing. And you should also think why they are so successful. And if you think everything that they do has a clear message, they don't overwhelm people with images, graphs, or anything, and they go to the point and they provide good content. They try to be as relevant as possible. And that's exactly what people expect from us, to be as relevant as possible. Talk to them what they need to know, not more and not less.
So a couple things that I just said. Go ahead, Rhonda.
I was just going to say my mom always laughs at me because anytime something comes up, I say, well, I don't know, I'll Google it and find out. And she's like, that's your answer for everything, isn't it? I said, pretty much.
It is the answer for everything.
If you can find whatever it is, you're going to be able to have access to it without having to take a major trip to a library or, you know, whatever else, all the things that it used to be not all that long ago. And, you know, for me, it's just, well, I'll look it up and from Google, Wikipedia, whatever, we'll find it.
Yeah.
That's really great. So one of the things that I heard you just say a little while ago was one of the ways people can figure out who their audience is to come to someone like you. Let's talk a little bit more about what that means. Why would someone come to you, and how can you help them?
We have different formats for different styles. So if a person is trying to learn one thing very specific, like using Facebook or how to generate more traffic, we offer online courses. They go at their own time, when they want and how they want, and they have audios and videos and PDFs, everything that goes in depth into that specific topic. So if they want to learn how to use Facebook for business, all the strategies and things are there. They can do that in their own time. That's affordable, that's fast, and they can take in their own terms, which is very social media-like, right? When they want, how they want. Or they want more hold-handy, and they want to talk to us. So we have mentoring programs where they block a specific amount of time, and we are going to brainstorm, define a strategy, and teach them how to implement that strategy. And the third option is when they just want to get things done. So they want a website or they want a Facebook page or whatever. We have the agency where they just, you know, hire the service and it gets done for them. Basically, those are the three ways. We focus a lot on giving back control to the business owner. I believe that if you don't have a business, a control over a business online, you don't have a business online at all. We work a lot with people that are business owners offline already, and they just want to do more online, either in the marketing part or generating other streams of income there. So it's important for them to come with the same kind of psychology to here. They need to understand the dynamics, see how it works, create the strategy, and then if they don't want to do it, then they can outsource for $10 an hour if they want. But they understand how it works. Because in this environment, I can come and say technology is complicated and difficult and charge you whatever, $20,000, $30,000 for anything, and you don't know better, and you pay, and you run out of budget and out of business in a short period of time. So it's very important to understand how it works, the dynamics, create the strategy, and then outsource. And not the other way around.
That's a really helpful formula. Really helpful formula.
Yep.
And so what kinds of things should people be looking at outsourcing?
Well, you know, all the things that you are not good at, you should outsource. The things that are not worth your time. For example, for me, the first thing I outsourced was taxes, right? I don't like numbers, and I don't like to deal with that. I don't think it's worth my time. So I have the bookkeeper and the accountant. My first choice was that. Today we have a team. As the business grows, you need to incorporate people into your business model, or else you will cap the amount of money you can make. There's only so much you can do in a period of 24 hours. So you need to bring people if you need to leap to the next phase. For example, web design, creating landing pages, creating screen. You shouldn't even worry how they are made, or because you can get that for very little money today. It's a commodity. Do not focus on anything that is a commodity. Don't waste your time trying to learn HTML or whatever language. It's not worth. You need to be perceived as the expert in something, so you need to be really good at that. You need to invest your time in improving your skills with that. Same thing applies to videos and other things. Leave the technology to somebody else. Focus on the message. Focus on the story. Get the story right. Keep testing. Those things you need to do because you need tracking. You need to see if people are coming back to your website, and if not, why not? Now, whoever is going to update those pages doesn't matter a bit. Can be anybody. You can teach a teenager. You can get somebody in the Philippines. You can do anything. But do not focus your time on things that are worth less than your own hourly rate, for example. It doesn't make any sense. And unfortunately, a lot of people think they're saving money doing that, and they are not. Virtual assistant, if you can afford, get one. because the time you spend on phone calls, answering phones that are really not important, it's money that you're leaving on the table. So you could pay somebody to be doing that, setting appointments, all these things. You don't need to be the face there. That's not what a relationship is about. When I spend time with somebody, they know I'm spending time with them. My mind is focused on their problems and their issues. I'm paying attention. My eyes make eye contact. That's how we build and deepen the relationship. The fact that I answer or not the phone or somebody else does is the least important part. So that could be outsourced. It doesn't mean that it can be answered just like anything, right? You have to create a choreography in all your sales process. You need, anytime you can bring a component of entertainment to a business, you start selling more. So you need to be really careful when you outsource that everything goes according to what you want. But still, you shouldn't be the one doing.
Really good way to describe it, with the phone call example. So in someone who's just starting out, who's maybe on a tight budget because they just got laid off, how can they afford to do outsourcing it in the way that you were just describing?
You know, it's a process, Gina. It doesn't happen overnight. Like I told you, for me, taxes was the first thing. And taxes still annoy me when I see my clients right at this time of the year starting really spending weeks taking care of that, when that could be easily outsourced for, I don't know, $35 an hour, and their time is a lot more than that. It doesn't make sense to me. But you start with one, and bring the one that you think could really increase the business, right? So if I brought today, let's say you get somebody to take care of your website stuff, would this be able to generate more sales? Could the, because if they could do that fast and press the message or put the message you have fast there, would this bring more sales? So they should be the first one. So you need to see in your process what's really keeping you from moving forward. And what we do here, Nashla and I, we really sit down. We have a weekly meeting where we sit down and with my naps we put everything that is happening and where the bottlenecks are. Because, you know, no matter where you are in business, there are always bottlenecks that can be improved. And that's the next person that will be brought in, right? Because if it's needing more money to come in, we need to fix that. And paper and pencil or paper and pen to do this kind of meetings. Because you need to see, visually see, where you're not allowing yourself to attract the money you want to attract. And if you're not, and also, sometimes you want to outsource in things that you have some fear in doing. So when technology, for example, is a huge problem to you, you cannot deal with that, it's stressful, then maybe you need to bring the person for that. And as the business grows, then it becomes easier. I mean, I think the most difficult one is the first one, the first person you bring on board, because you really don't know how you're going to afford. Yeah, it is. The first time, the first couple of months, you really don't sleep at night thinking, am I going to be able to afford this? But that also motivates you to not wait one more minute to take action in things. Because when we are the only ones making decisions and the only ones we have to pay, it's very easy to postpone everything, and that kills.
And sometimes taking that leap of faith can be the crossing point of your life, because if you, let's say, okay, you're determined, you say, okay, I'm going to outsource my taxes, and you get someone there, and they do it, and they do the bookkeeping and all that. Well, because now you have contracted that person, it will force yourself to work and to take action and to get it done, so that if you are staying awake at night because you think you won't be able to pay it, well, now you really have a good reason to get working.
It's amazing what it does for your marketing skills, because you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I have 2 days to make his income to be able to pay him, so what can I do? Oh, maybe I can do a promotion. Maybe I could sell 50 off today or something. And you start really into marketing because you know that can bring more sales.
Absolutely, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. The first one is the toughest, but if you can hire your first person in a way that they very quickly can not only pay for themselves, but bring in the extra money you would need to hire the second person, Well, now you've got a way to hire the second person, and you do the same thing all over again. You have them creating the income to pay them.
Yeah, and Gina, even the word hire, it's scary a little bit, right? Because with that comes a lot of obligations that you have. You might just outsource to an agency at the beginning.
Yes.
You can have a multi-million a company today without having one single employee, but having a team. That's another thing that was not possible 10 years ago, and today it is. So we have transcribers, we have programmers, we have people that is really a team, have been with us now for quite a few years, and they're not my employees. I hire agencies and pay the agency for that, so it's still a pretty good deal. I, for example, I don't like to micromanage, so I cannot see myself inside an office giving people orders. That's not my personality. I avoid that, and we have a very successful business just the same.
Let me go back a little bit. In a business that's, do you guys work primarily with online or offline businesses, or a little bit of both?
We have a little bit of both, but I would say 70 to 80% are existing businesses that want to do business online. What we do not have are the business opportunity, like, you know, how to start an online business and be a millionaire tomorrow. We don't do those. They already have a profession. They already have a business.
Okay. So for these offline businesses that you're dealing with, what do you see as the number one biggest mistake that you see them making?
Wasting time in social media is a big one. It's normal that we go and speak and people go and try to do it by themselves and they spend really the whole day on Facebook. That's a big mistake. As business owners, we need to take care of strategy, not tactics. And people tend to focus on tactics and not a strategy.
And the other thing is the lack of focus.
Yeah, that's a big one. They get excited when they see things start working, and then they want to implement all the ideas they have, and that's a big mistake. You have to make, you can have several businesses online. That's quite a possibility. We have ourselves, but you take care of finishing one project, and then you go to the next one, and then to the next one. And people just, they get too excited, and they start one, then tomorrow another one, never ever gets finished.
Absolutely. That's a huge issue I see with my students, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How do they overcome these challenges?
I didn't hear you.
I'll let Rhonda go first, and then I'll repeat mine.
Well, before we have you ask that, let's just take a pause and remind people of, you know, who we are, who we're talking to, and then we'll have you ask that question, Gina, so let's just...
Okay.
Yeah.
You're listening to Relationship Marketing 101 Radio with your co-hosts, Gina Gaudio-Graves, Dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, and Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady of ProfitableStorytelling.com, showing you how to build your business through the power of relationships. We're here with Shahar and her daughter, Nashla Boyayan of BuzzBooster.com. And so we've been talking about the person who is established in business and mistakes that they make. And Gina, you had a question, so go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So these two challenges that you just enumerated, what do you see as the fastest way of overcoming those challenges in a way that will get them better results?
You mean with the focus part that we were just talking?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. You know, I one way is to eliminate distractions and really put order in your day. For example, people that usually lack focus or they get too excited and want to implement a lot of projects, they are the ones that tend to spend a lot of time in social networking sites just talking and chatting. Well, that's not business. That can be good for a lot of things, but you have to be busy doing money, making money. What they usually do is they unfocus because when it comes to the sales process, they don't want to do it. A lot of people have a lot of fear in selling, especially women. It's amazing. They don't like to ask for the money. They don't like to come to, okay, to close a sale. So when that point in the business comes, they go and focus on another project. It's very, very common. So what you need to do is stop yourself and say, no, let's perfect here the sales. We see that happening so often, that people build something and do hope that because they built, they will come. And that's a myth. So that's when they unfocus. You have to take them back to reality and say, now let's focus on sales. How are you going to sell this? What are going to be the channels you're going to use to sell? Are you going to use teleseminars, whatever? And keep them coming back. They cannot allow themselves to move to another project before the last one is bringing money. It doesn't. Sometimes you can move before you're making a lot of money. That's okay. Of course, if you have one website making you $100 a month and you have 10 making $100 is $1,000. So that's also a strategy some people use. But you have to be making that money first in order to move to the other. And I'm not able to tell you the right numbers, but there are statistics on how much you decrease your income when you're focusing on several projects at the same time. For each project, the new project that you bring on board, you tend to decrease your income in a certain percentage. So you have to be careful. You're not building a lot to make a lot tomorrow. You have to build, make some today and some more tomorrow, and this will be a progressive thing.
And that's really interesting because it's counterintuitive, right? You would think that the more projects you have, the more money you're going to make, and yet it's quite the opposite that's really happening in real life.
Yeah, when you're able to complete several projects, then you have all of them bringing money, and that's fine. But the problem is when you're building, you have to finish building the house before you start building another house and not leave everything without doors and windows, for example, because, you know, people will come and take everything that you have inside. Again, it takes effort to sell. It takes effort to market. If you're going to use the same environments to promote different businesses, it gets very confusing. So if today you're promoting a coaching business and tomorrow you're promoting essential oils, people are going, okay, what is she about there? You're confusing them. So you also need to think, if you work with more than one project, how and when and who will be promoting them? You might want to bring people just to be the face of the business so they can be on the same environment promoting without causing confusion. If you confuse the mind, you lose the sale. So you have to be careful.
Right. Yes, you do.
Confused people don't buy. You definitely have to be careful. And you had talked way back earlier about working from your strengths. And I know one person who has what I call BSO syndrome, bright, shiny object syndrome, meaning whatever is the bright, shiny new thing, or he wants to have the new project. He is great at starting things, not so much on the follow-through. What he learned to do was set some systems in place so that the follow-through and everything could run. Once he established that, yes, I've done my testing and this is a successful thing, okay, now I have the systems and now I'm already starting to want to move on to something else, and I can because the stuff's in place. So that's how he chose to work from his strength. But most people just go after one thing and another, and then the minute there's a new piece of software or technology or whatever, then they're not so... they're following that instead of staying true to a strategy.
Yeah, Rhonda, and people do this all the time with social media tools. We cannot be so naive. We need to see, for example, the media, the traditional media, what they need and what they are doing and what we need and what we are doing. So traditional media today is all about Twitter. So you listen about Twitter all day long if you watch TV. Okay, that's the new shiny tool for them at the moment. That's bringing them viewers. Tomorrow, it's going to be another one. Well, you, as the business owner, you cannot be like that. The next shiny thing you have to use because everybody else is using. You need to think, which tool would bring me more people, more relationships, more sales, and become good at that tool. Well, the new shiny things will come, and the ones that will prove to be good to your business, you will adopt them. And the others, you just leave aside. There is no way on earth that we can be able to manage all the social media tools by ourselves and be successful at the same time. The only thing we can really do is waste a lot of time. So you have to think, okay, which are the tools that have my audience there that I can go and start a conversation and focus on a couple of ones. And you know, Seth Godin, the author of Purple Cow, The Dip, and now Lynchpin, he was one that said this, I think, 2 years ago. You have to focus on one to two tools and be good at those.
Uh-huh.
And forget about the rest. Because you can, we stay up 16 hours a day. There is only so much we can do.
That's very true. And I mean, when you're talking about getting started with social media especially, it can be so confusing, and uh-huh. it can really lead you to the point where you're just not paying attention to all of the things that really matter in your business because you're trying so hard to figure it out. And as a result, you're really not getting anywhere at all very fast.
Yes, and you have to think. Successful people are usually busy people.
Yes,
they are. If
they're
spending 24 hours on Facebook, there's something wrong there. Okay?
Yep.
So you have to manage that. You, for example, we spend about 15 minutes tops a day, one of us, going to Facebook. We might check during the day once or twice, especially if we have something going on, but that's it. Right? When I have some extra time, then I go check other people's profiles, I comment in other people's lives, I interact with people I like, with my customers, my prospects, when I have extra time. But never during my day, because we get out of this interview and we have a client, or we might have to write something for our magazine. There's a lot of things going on. Right. Successful people need to be busy. Busy generating revenue or generating new channels of revenue. Now, communication is important. All this is important. Yes, extremely important, but needs to be balanced. And what people think is because they learn how to add a friend, they start adding friends that they don't know anything about, and then they start spending the whole day there. And you know, it becomes so addicting that gets in the way of every single aspect of productivity. So they have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's easy to do things like that and feel busy because you're doing something. You're not just watching TV or, you know, staring at the wall. You know, you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but that is not the same as being productive. I know somebody who is up literally hours, and she is constantly on Twitter, and I'm like, you know, if you're not getting a lot of business and sales from that, it's probably because you're not being where your people are hanging out, and you're just wasting a lot of time thinking that Twitter is going to bring you clients.
Exactly. And people have this misconception that because they feel busy, they are not really
mm-hmm.
busy. And this comes from the time that we were taught just to be good employees, right? So we would
mm-hmm.
be in front of a desk being busy,
yep.
but not really productive. And we tend to do this with social, in the social media environment. So the day goes by really fast, but you have to check your pocket. Did you make money today? You know, you might become a huge social butterfly, but does this really bring you any return? If we are doing this as a business, I don't want to be harsh, but if it's business, it's based on profits. If you don't have profits, you might have a hobby, and you need to make that decision, okay? It's a total different deal if you just like to use social network for your own amusement, okay? We love those
mm-hmm.
tools, but if it's a business, it needs to generate profit.
One
if
of the
it's not
things
generating
I think,
profit, you're doing something wrong.
One of the things I hear implied in what you're saying is that you have a routine that you follow, so that you're not sitting there wasting time on all of these social sites, but instead you're doing things that are going to generate profit in a fairly short period of time. Can you kind of share what that routine looks like in your day?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly how it is. When we wake up in the morning, we do check emails. because we do get a lot of business coming from our email, so it's not a waste of time. But we check like in 10 or 15 minutes. And most of the day we are out of the computer. We might be in the computer with clients, like I have somebody I'm coaching over the phone and we use the computer, or at the office. 2 days a week we see people at the office or over the phone. And usually Tuesdays and Wednesdays goes the whole day long. We put all them in one block, 2 days, because we need time to be able to strategize and finish projects that we have. So Mondays and Fridays we call the buffer days. We use those days just to think and strategize about stuff. We have usually our meetings on Friday where we say, okay, what's the next? What are the bottlenecks? What is the project that needs attention right now? Do we have to upgrade stuff? All this. And National uses a project manager tool. Everything we do is in the clouds today. We only use software there in the cloud where she put the tasks for our team. And they have access wherever they are to that project management tool, and they know what they have to do during that day. We work with people on our time schedule and people that are in other countries that work during the night. So all is done there. We also use another software that is a client relationship management tool. So every time we have a meeting, if we have tasks coming out of that meeting, we put all there so we can track everything that is in the progress with everything, including ideas we might have during the week about that client, because that happens quite often. Some clients you were dealing, you know, we change it from a solopreneur to a TV show in a matter of an hour. We deal with very different businesses. So sometimes we are going to the movies and we say, okay, this client, if they use this kind of tool this way, we generate more profits. We go to the client relationship tool and we put that down so we don't forget when we have the meeting. So we always check that before. And late in the day, at the end of the day, when we usually come home, that's when we go to the social networking tools. All them, we use automated tools like Ping FM, for example. So when we broadcast one message like I did about the show before we started, it goes to all of them at once, so they are automated. The only tools we really log in into is Twitter and Facebook. All the other ones are just connected. I never go there, so I don't go to Plaxo or I don't know, but we are in all of them, and all right. of them, including LinkedIn, are broadcasting the messages.
Wow, that's a really great economy of action the way I see it.
Yes.
Well, I would like to spend more time, but it really doesn't have enough.
Who has it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so of the things that you do on your typical day, which things generate the greatest amount of money?
Usually the days we sit down and we strategize, because that's when we allow ourselves to have breakthroughs. During the norm, and that's another reason we only see clients twice a week. Because there is no way for me to be thinking about your business and advising you on your business and at the same time having a breakthrough about mine. That doesn't happen. I mean, it might happen, but it's rare. The moment my mind can get free of all of that and we can focus on one project and we just chat to each other, what do you think this or what do you think about that, then the great things happen. And that's where, like 2 weeks ago, we decided to go with our training programs to a different audience, and we were able to create the whole strategy, and we believe it's going to increase tenfold just in that project what we are going to make in the next 60 days. It was in a meeting that we had the time. So we might go, and we don't do meetings in the office either. We go to a restaurant or we go to a park or something outside our normal environment so we can really get into a different mood.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, we're just about out of time here, but I want to make sure that we let folks know where they can connect with the two of you so that they can get your help in building their businesses. So, Rhonda, where can folks go if they're looking for more information?
Well, you can definitely go to buzzbooster.com, and I'm going to put up the Facebook page and some other things in the resources here in just a few moments. And I'm just so pleased you have provided tremendous value, ladies. Thank you so much. for being here, and I really hope that our listeners really like this content and love this show. Please give us a 5-star rating and leave us a comment so that both Blog Talk Radio and we know that we're serving you what you want.
And if I can do anything to help the two of you in the future, please let me know. It's been great having you as a guest here today on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back again next Tuesday at noon Eastern with another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Until then, have a wonderful week, everyone, and really use what you've learned on today's show, apply it to your business, and start focusing on the things that can make you money quickly. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.